Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I'm glad that you have tuned in as we continue our study through the Old Testament. This morning we're going to have an opportunity to be in the book of Daniel. We are going to be in Daniel, introducing that good book, looking at Daniel chapter 1. And making some comments from it. Before we begin, though, as always, we'd like to remind you of things that we've been made aware of that are going on in the Brotherhood, what's on the bulletin board this morning and starting out our work week, seeing what we have available for us. When we note some of these things this morning, we have several gospel meetings that are coming up. We have two that have already began. They've started yesterday, and one of those is at the Marshall Church of Christ. They have Joe Ruiz, who has come in, and this is actually a bilingual gospel meeting with Joe Ruiz. And his theme is, which road will you choose, and what causes the church to grow? The Lord's work in missions was spoken of yesterday, focusing on the love of God and having a deep abiding faith in God. Tonight, you have the opportunity, understanding what is man's most precious possession. That'll start at 7 p.m. tonight. Tuesday night, challenging people to examine their faith. Wednesday, being passionate but not past feeling. And Thursday, things will conclude, being prepared to meet our God. Now, this is at the Marshall Church of Christ, and they are located at 414 North Washington Avenue on the corner of Washington Avenue and Grand Avenue, or Highway 80 right there in Marshall. And I know that they'd be glad that you would come over and be a part of that. Also, North Jefferson Church Christ, Mount Pleasant, Texas, is hosting their fall gospel meeting, kicked off yesterday with Kevin Colley. His theme, Jesus or Me, What Will It Be? Tonight, yesterday they took a look at The Only Thing to Fear, It's All About Me, and The Secret That Isn't a Secret. Tonight you have The Green-Eyed Monster. Tuesday evening, Mount St. Helens all over again, and Wednesday, Empire of Desire. And so Kevin has come over, and he's holding this meeting. If you need more information about it, you can give him a call at 903-572-1136. That is 7 p.m. nightly through Wednesday. Ladies, you have an opportunity as well. We have another one coming up on the 22nd of October. And that is a gospel meeting at the Central Church of Christ there in Athens, Texas. And that the speaker, is Brian Braswell. He's coming over to conduct that meeting. And at the very same time, there will be a meeting at the Maybank congregation. And Billy Bland is going to be holding this meeting, What's Right with the Church? The sermon topics, the right standard, the right worship, the right builder, the right time and place of establishment, the right destiny, and the right mission. And this is, again, October 22nd through the 25th. And you can give them a call, 903-887-0311, and they will be glad to share more information about that meeting with you. And ladies, now there is a Ladies' Day scheduled November the 11th. This is at the North Jefferson Congregation. The speaker is Catherine Baker, the topic, Peace in the Valley. Again, that is November the 11th at 10 a.m. Registration will begin at 9:30 a.m., and a lunch will be provided. They ask that you would please RSVP, if possible, by November the 4th by calling 903-572-1136. And then make plans to be at the Northeast Texas Bible Bowl. And the next opportunity is going to be on November the 13th. That'll be over 1 Corinthians chapter 5 through 8. Our testing center is at the North Jefferson Church of Christ there in Mount Pleasant. And if you would like to be a part of this, be able to bring some young folks and older folks alike and take these tests and test yourself on your knowledge, give them a call, 903-572-1136. And I know Chris would love to talk to you about that as well. Well, that's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. We're going to look at the exciting book of Daniel here in just a few moments. But before we do, we're going to take a short break. And so get your Bibles and notepads handy, and we'll be back in a moment and begin our study. Stay with us. Morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for being with us as we now turn our attention in our study of the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel has some exciting events that are familiar to us on many levels. We have the events that transpire in chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they refused to bow down to that image. They did not bend to the offers of the king, and then in turn they did not burn in that furnace as God was there and protected them. We also see the events that happen in chapter 6, where Daniel himself, so familiar to our young people as well, cast into the lion's den, God closing the mouths of the lions and protecting him as well. We could look and divide this book up, if we think about it, even in an outline aspect of dividing it up into those first 6 chapters would be the historical aspect of them. Later, chapters 7 through 12, those final 6 are going to be visions that Daniel is given by God, or given by God, and he will expound on those. When we think about the purpose or theme, I guess our theme would actually be that God rules in the nations of men. That's what he does. We notice some things about this great book, those events that will transpire in chapters 3 and chapter 6 are because of the events that happen here in chapter 1. Daniel is at the forefront of these events, and oftentimes because of verse number 8, it reminds us that he, Daniel, purposed in his heart to do these things. But with him at that given time were also some who were taken with him as captives, and later we know them mainly by their foreign names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were also there. And so we have all 4 of these boys, young men, who had been taken into captivity. But it is, he purposed in his heart, a lot like we see even over in Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. Ezra prepared his heart. And we see what he did once he prepared it, to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel its statutes and judgments. And Daniel here will purpose in his heart. We're going to see some historical dates given for us as he sets the tone, lets us know when this is taking place, what happens. And as we do, we'll note a few things about this as well. Notice, as we look at it, we're going to see them carried away by a conqueror, and that conqueror is Nebuchadnezzar. Let's notice these first 7 verses for a moment. It says, in the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. And the king instructed Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wines which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that all, so at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. Now, from among the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, let's go back up to the beginning for a moment and notice he gives us a time stamp. It is in the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, when these events take place. We can look, and it places us, when we look at this, we're going to look at this as one of the 3 deportations that take place for those in Judah. We're going to see that, we have the 605 597, that would later take place as well. And so here we are in that first particular wave of deportation that he is carried away with others. Now, some have said that he was of even the royal seed. But if we read what Daniel states here, the book states that not only were some of the king descendants and some of the nobles, but just bring some of the children of Israel. And it is quite possibly that he is of the noble seed or royal seed, as the King James Version places it. But he tells us that Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not going to be utterly destroyed until later on. At this point in time, it is that first siege after they have taken or fought and taken that city. And so we have the historical aspect. The biblical history of it is that they're in verse number 2, that is the Lord that gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. He carried some of those things back. But then about this, though, this is because of God's providence. Notice over in chapter 2 for a moment. In chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, there the text states, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and raises up kings." In chapter 5, verse 21, "The Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses." So what Daniel has revealed in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 2, "The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand," that this was an act of God's providence that was being carried out. We also see what Nebuchadnezzar had in mind. Notice he tries to steal Israel's, Judah's, heritage. He instructs Asphanaz to bring some of the children of Israel, the king's seed, and the nobles. Why? Well, notice what Psalm 127, verse number 3, teaches us about those children. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward." The fact is that as he took that generation away, he was stealing the heritage and those who would grow up and follow. These young men, though, were young men of choice. These had no blemish. They were the cream of the crop, chosen by for Nebuchadnezzar's training. And these individuals, as we look at them, they were physically superior. It says they were without blemish. They were good looking. They were mentally superior. They had the ability to learn and to understand even the literature of the Chaldeans, gifted with all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand. So these individuals were mentally superior, and they were socially superior. They were able to serve in the king's palace. And so these are the ones that are chosen for this 3-year program. And this 3-year program, they would even be given the best of the best, or at least in the mind of the king, the best of the best of the foods. They were able to eat that which is literally fit for a king. The king appointed them for them provisions of the king's delicacies. But verses 6 and 7, it tells us that there were 4 outstanding young men who were there. And Daniel his name. And here's what they did. Every one of their names in some way refer to God in it. Daniel's name means God is my judge. Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious. Mishael, who is what God is. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped. But they changed these names, and now all of these names are going to reflect the Babylonian gods. Belteshazzar means servant of Baal. Shadrach is inspired by the sun god. Meshach, who is what the moon god is. Abednego, servant of Nebo. And so they have, in my mind especially, they have intentionally changed the name now to reflect the beliefs of the Babylonians. There, one writer had suggested that Nebuchadnezzar's tactics to brainwash the captives in order to make them, at least in the mind, Babylonish cultured anyways, by isolation. They removed them from everything that reminded them of their Hebrew roots. They took away the food that they would normally eat. They gave them Babylonian food. They gave them Babylonian names. And so there's this isolation that takes place. But the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, reminds us as well, brethren, beware, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but instead exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest there be any of you hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They may have removed them and isolated them from others, but these four individuals were able to exhort one another and encourage one another. These as well, they had this indoctrination. They were going to teach them everything about the Babylonian culture and force them even to speak this new language. They were to compromise, feed them food that, you know, was not fit for them to eat. Some would think that it would be a small thing for them to do such, but it would have violated the law that they had grown up with. And then confusing them, change their names, hoping to that in turn that such would be the beginning of the changing of their identities. But here is, with these four, a great illustration of Romans 12 in verse number 2. Where Scripture tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As these four young men were in this culture clash that they were dealing with, they were not going to be conformed to that society, but instead they held firm. And it goes here because of verse number 8, where, yes, they were carried away by a conqueror, but Daniel now will confront this culture. Verses 8 and following. Let's notice verses 8 through 16. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. And so he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took all their portions of delicacies and the wines which that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now let's go back up and note a few things about even the text that we just read. It tells us that first, when we note these things, Daniel made the purpose. You know, the Bible would teach the child of God that he is not to allow the world to change his thinking. And Daniel's not going to allow the world that he finds himself in to change his mind. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Proverbs writer says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So he is going to build a fence, a wall around his heart. He has purposed in his heart. He has refused to let this culture that he has found himself in shape his thinking. He purposed in his heart. In Joshua 24, in verse number 15, we see the very same thing, that faithfulness begins when we decide to live for God. In Joshua 24:15, remember that text where Joshua says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. He challenges the children of Israel to make the choice. Who are you going to choose to serve? Are you going to serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood? Or are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell? You choose, but he says, I have already chosen. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you choose to serve the Lord, as Daniel does, he purposed in his heart, you will make the necessary preparation. Also there in verse number 8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. He was prepared for that moment in time. He knew what the law of God taught regarding defilement. He had been prepared. He had been taught. You know, you and I have the ability to take the Word of God, to read it, to understand it. But the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that is exactly what Ezra did in Ezra 7 and verse 10. He prepared his heart to know the law of the Lord, and then he prepared his heart to do it. And so Daniel, there was preparation to stand fast that had already been made before we even get to Daniel chapter 1. He knew. And how? Well, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses, before the children of Israel, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord to God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. He had, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, been trained up in the way that he should go. There was preparation made, as fathers today should make preparation with their young folks before they get into a situation. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. And so there was the purposing of heart, the preparation, and then there was the courage. Now act on this purpose and preparation. And what does he do? Well, it took courage for Daniel to stand up for what he believed in. And it took courage for him to trust in God. But that's exactly what he does. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lay not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He had courage, the courage that God gives. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so the choice is then made by Daniel. But not only by Daniel, it is Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All four of these young men are tested even together. They stand as one together. But during that period of time, here we see God caring for them as he would bless them. Notice even in the text that we've already read, that is at the end of this portion, these individuals at the end of the 10 days, their features were better, they're fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the other portions. And so God was with them, and God cared for them. But then God's care is continually seen, and they are cared for by the Creator. If we notice what we have so far, it is the fact that Daniel is carried away by a conqueror. Daniel confronts a foreign culture, and Daniel is cared for by the Creator. And Daniel being cared for by the Creator, notice what happens. He blessed them providentially. Well, let's read the text, verses 17 to 21. And as these four young men, again, we always focus in on Daniel because it says Daniel purposed in his heart. But remember, they're there together. This really gives us an understanding of the benefit of choosing wisely our peers, our friends, because, you know, the fact is true. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you to continually do that which is good and that which is right. And he has done so. He has surrounded himself. They have surrounded themselves with good peers. As for these four men, God gave them knowledge and skills in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king had examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So when we look at this, we see that God has cared for them, and they were cared for by the Creator. Verse 9, providentially, God brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs, which set the tone for the request that he would make, that he would be open to it. But God also continued to bless them, and he blessed them mentally because there in verse number 17, God gave them knowledge and skill and all literature and wisdom. He blessed them miraculously. It says that Daniel had all understanding and dreams. He blessed them tremendously. Verses 19 and 20, they were 10 times better than everyone else as far as the realm in which he examined them in. And he blessed Daniel even with length of service, longevity, because he continued there until the first year of King Cyrus. And so when we look at these, being especially here, Daniel being cared for by the Creator in these hard times, our circumstances may be different. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, there is no temptation taken you, but that such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's going to care. He's going to be there. He cares for us physically. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. What? The things that we need. Physical things that we need. Spiritually, Ephesians chapter 1 in verse number 3, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. We have these great blessings. When we consider them as well as a whole here in chapter 1, the 4, it reminds me of what the old preacher would reveal for us about the benefits of a friend. Let's look over to Ecclesiastes 4. In Ecclesiastes 4, beginning verse number 9, it says, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falls, for he has no other to help him up. The first benefit is this. A good friend will lift you up. He's going to pick you up when you fall down, when you stumble. And you know what? We, at times, will stumble. We are to support the weak, Paul tells the church in Thessalonica. We are to bear one another's burdens, Galatians chapter 6, and so fulfill the law of Christ, he tells the churches of Galatia. And we are to encourage one another on a regular basis. He says, woe unto him who is alone when he falls. He will lift you up. But then verse number 11, again, if two lie together and then they have heat, how can one be warm alone? A good friend will warm you up. He's going to supply those things that are needful. And we see in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and following, where he says there, hereby we perceive love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That we will give those things that are needed. James uses this illustration in James chapter 2 when he says, what does it profit, brethren, if a man says, I have faith and not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and someone says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but they do not give them the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? here he says that if two lie together, they will have the heat. He will warm you up. He will give you that which is needed. So we have the benefit. He will pick you up. He will warm you up. And notice verse number 12. And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. He will back you up. And we're going to see this. We see it here in chapter 1, where the four combine together, and they are able to stand. There is the encouragement of fellowship. In chapter 3, we're going to have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're going to have Mishael, Azariah, and all standing together. And as they do, they're able to have that courage. But in Daniel chapter 6, we're going to see even Daniel, as it seems and appears, he stands alone, but he does not. When we're standing with God, we are not in the minority, but we will always be in the majority. And so we see benefits of this in this chapter. And so Daniel chapter 1, I hope that there's something in there that we've been able to discuss, that you've gotten some benefit from. I encourage you to continue reading ahead, noticing these things. Tomorrow we're going to look in Daniel chapter 2. Ryan's going to take a look at those things and continue on in the study. You have listening opportunities here shortly. You're going to have the good news today with Jim Dearman, and then it'll be followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy and crew. Then we also have listening opportunities throughout the day. I would encourage you always, as always, to find a program that you haven't had an opportunity to listen to. Maybe even go over to the on-demand section and try a couple out there, and then start listening to them on their live broadcast as well. But we always encourage you to be back with us every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, for Mornings for the Master from Mount Vernon, Texas, here on the Gospel Radio Network. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
for more.